Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you this morning. We're seeking God together this morning. It's something that we do when we're starting a new season in the church calendar. And this is the fall season, right? No groans now out there, right? Fall is a great time of the year. It's a chance for us to think about what's happening in our community and in our church, and to ask for God's guidance and His favor. So that's what we're doing today. I'm so glad that you're here. For those of you that are watching in, it's great to have you as well. There was a billboard on the way to Charlevoix. It's over by Bay Harbor. It's been taken down now, but it was out there all summer. Perhaps you saw it. It was put out by the band of Odawa Indians. And I thought it was a real kind and welcoming thing to do. And it was basically, the sign basically said, "Seek the good life." It was just sort of this well-wishing kind of thing on our community, those that come to visit or those who live here. Seek the good life. It's sort of like, I hope you're doing well. That's the way I took it. I jog by there and I look up and see that. And, wow, that's a really nice thing to say. And you know, maybe there's a little bit of a subtle thing, like if you're in northern Michigan, you're in the good life. You know, that was probably in there as well. I think like if God was creating a billboard for you, something for you and I to see, something for the residents of our community to see, He might say something like that to us: seek the good life. And so I know that because God created you. He created myself in His image and in His likeness. And He created us to flourish. He created us to thrive. He created us to know Him, to know His love, to know, you know, kind of the big picture, like His grace and His mercy. And He created you and I to experience His joy and His peace, both here and the era that's to come, the time in our existence that is to come. But here's the tricky thing, is that there's different ideas about what the good life is. Have you noticed that? There's kind of competing ideas. What is the good life? That's what I want to talk to you about today, because we're doing this Seeking God Together, and this is something that's kind of been on my heart, and it's kind of a chance to talk about something that I've been thinking about and something that I think you probably have on your radar as well, because of these competing ideas of what it means to really kind of live out or experience the good life. So what we're going to do today is, I got three questions that we're going to try to answer, and I'm going to address, here they are. The first one is, what is the good life? Like, what is it? And secondly, how do you pursue the good life? And then lastly, when should you go after the good life? So that's where we're headed today. And so I'm going to give you, on this first question, what is the good life? There's two basic thoughts on this out there, at least that I've found. There's probably more, but here's two basic thoughts. The first one is this: follow your heart. That is the way to the good life. That is what many consider to be the good life, is follow what's in your heart. Maybe you've heard it said this way: be authentic to yourself. Act in ways that show your true self. You know, we hear that in our world. And in our teaching team, we were talking about this, and actually Johnny said, hey, this is an interesting poem that kind of reflects this. And so it's called The Voice by Shel Silverstein. This is how it goes. There's a voice inside of you that whispers all day long, I feel that this is right for me. I know that this is wrong. No teacher, preacher, parent, friend, or wise man can decide what's right for you. Just listen to the voice that speaks inside. It's kind of representative of what we experience in this world. This poem, you know, it's about independence. It's about, you know, discovering yourself from kind of within. It's basically saying only you can make the right decision for yourself. And for some, you see that and you're like, I agree with that poem, you know. And I don't want you to feel put off today. I just want you to see that that's one option. That's one way. And there may be some things to consider with it, to look at. It's interesting that this Silverstein guy, you'd think he's probably a young person, but he's passed away maybe 20 years ago already. He was born in 1930, so he was born before my dad. So this was not a new idea that we see in our world. It's been there all along. And I read some excerpts from his autobiography, you see that he really, truly did live true to what he said in his poem. Hugh Hefner was one of his buddies. I'll just leave it at that, okay, this morning. Now, I have an article in the notes. If you want the notes for today's talk, just text Genesis. And it's an article written by a guy named Carl Truman, who's actually written a book called A Strange New World. This article, though, is kind of a condensed. And it kind of shares how we in the Western world got to this point where the heart, what our heart is telling us, means so much. It's an interesting thing just to see the philosophy behind it. And a guy named Jean-Jacques Rousseau, who was born in the 1700s, is someone that is said to have kind of started this way of thinking, at least one of the contributors to it. He was one of the first people to believe that a child is born pristine, without faults. We would call it without sin, you know, just kind of. And the world, the environment that that one is born into, that's what corrupts them. As a matter of fact, Rousseau said it this way, man is born free and everywhere is in chains. Okay, so the philosophy of the good life says that a person is born without imperfections. That's what this version of the good life says. And should be free, answerable to no one, and because they are masters of their own destiny. So that's one option to look at in finding the good life. Well, here's another way. It's found in Scripture. And this is a Proverbs 3:5. This is actually my life verse. It's a verse I memorized many, many moons ago, many years ago, and comes up often in my heart. But it's a Proverbs 3:5, and we'll put it on the screen. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your understanding. So let me differentiate. We have this idea, follow your heart. Then the second option is, follow the Lord with all your heart. So you see the difference? Follow your heart. Then the second one that I want to point out here, follow the Lord with all your heart. This way is trust in the Lord. Trust in God. Not in yourself. Trust someone wiser. The Creator God. The one who made it all. Someone who is more insightful than you and I. Our understanding is limited. Have you noticed that? I had a chance to be reminded of that this week. It was time to do the dreaded pumping of the septic tank. And so, of course, I called the company. They came over. And a young guy, I think he graduated the same year as my daughter, Jalen. His name is Logan. He came over. Very hardworking young man, very knowledgeable. There's things to understand about your septic tank. Did you know that? This is kind of gross, isn't it, here this morning? It's the old junior high youth pastor coming out again. Sorry, Johnny, take that away from you. But there's some interesting things, and he helped me understand some things, and it just reminded me, I don't know everything. I don't have insights about everything. I actually have people in my life that can help me understand things that I don't know. Now, the way to understanding or getting the good life is recognizing your weakness and following the Lord with your whole heart. We're limited, but God has it all. Now, Jeremiah the prophet, that's where I want to spend a little bit of our time here. This morning, Jeremiah 17, it's found on page 996 in the Journey Bible. I encourage you to look it up, read this over, memorize some of this. It's an incredible passage. Page 996. Jeremiah was a prophet. A prophet was someone who was the Lord's mouthpiece to the people. And let me just say, in his time, he was not popular in the nation. He was not popular, very unpopular. Many people had hard hearts about what he was saying and hard hearts about what God was revealing through the prophet Jeremiah. And he took a hard stance on things and he shared hard things. And suffering was a part of Jeremiah's life. But this is what he says here. Look at his insight. This is Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. But blessed, we're going to come back to but. That's an important word there. We'll come back to it in a minute. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the streams. It actually goes on to say, in the heat, they will not worry. It kind of lays out kind of really the results of having the confidence, your confidence in the Lord, having your trust in the Lord. So those who follow the Lord, that passage is saying, they become a tree. Has anyone ever bumped into a tree before, like on a bike? Anybody here? Just have you ever, whoops, kind of winged me? You know, it hurts. Trees don't move. And I have a friend that's like, hey, let's go mountain biking together, you know, up at Boyne Mountain. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm too wild. I'll probably lose control and die out there. So trees don't move, do they? If you've ever, you know, my son backed this car into the tree. It didn't move, but the car moved in expensive ways. Okay? And so we know that, you know, this idea of a tree is something that is incredibly sturdy. And those who follow the Lord with their hearts, they become like trees, okay? And this is the good life. To become like a tree, that's the good life. That's what God created you for. That's what He created me for. He created us to live planted in Him, supplied by Him, and rooted into Him. That's what you were created for. Okay? And it doesn't fear when the heat comes. You don't live in fear when, you know, the summer heat spikes up, when we get those 90-degree days. I know some of you like it. How many of you like the 90-degree days? Okay. That's like my wife. She likes it. I'm like, it's way too hot. But out west, they've been getting the 100-degree days, and it's like a trial. It's like, it's so oppressively hot. And this is a metaphor for life, that heat is going to come into your life. You're going to have a mom pass away or a dad pass away. You're going to have a business that was thriving, and it's going to dry up. You're going to have a broken relationship. There's so many different things that come up. And when you're a tree, when you're planted and you're in the Lord, you are you're like that tree. You're not moved, even though things are out of your control. You're planted, you're supplied, and you're rooted. So I want to go on to that one last thing there. I said but. Now we'll put the slide up there, and it's a big but, okay? You could take that many different ways, but it's a contrast, and it's contrasting something that was said before that we want to look at right now. This is what is said before. It says, cursed is the one who trusts in man. You see that? We get into this but part, and it's like, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. But it's contrasting, cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, and a salt land where no one lives. Cursed. That's a strong statement. Cursed is the one who trusts in man. Cursed is the one who trusts in himself. They'll be like a bush in the wastelands. It's saying they're going to be judged. They're going to endure judgment because they haven't turned to someone wiser, to someone who could help them. It's sort of like divine punishment right there. So, to wrap this up, this first question, two basic choices, two different ways to pursue the good life. Follow, number one, follow your heart. That's one option that we see. And we see many people going down that path in our world. And then the second option is follow the Lord with all your heart. Scripture says that if you follow your heart, you're going to be like a bush, you know, like one of those tumbleweeds in the wasteland. Not attached to anything, just kind of whatever comes up, you're going to blow with it. Okay? But Scripture says that if you follow the Lord with all your heart, you're like a tree. You are planted. You are supplied. You are rooted. So those are the options. Let's move on here. How do you pursue the good life? How do you do it? How do you go after it? Well, first of all, one thought here. How do you do it? You got to be convinced that you can't trust your heart. You have to be convinced. Now, that doesn't mean don't know your heart. You need to know your heart. You need to understand what is going on in your heart. We'll come back to that in just a second. But you can't trust your heart. You can't trust your heart as your compass. Our culture screams to us, trust your heart. Our culture screams to us, do what your heart says. But this is what the Bible says. This is in that same passage, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Okay? The heart is deceitful. It will deceive us. Now, we intuitively know that. We intuitively know not to trust our hearts because, for example, like if you're going to watch a movie and you want some potato chips with it, you know that it is foolish to grab the whole bag and go over and sit down, right? With a big bag of Lay's. You know, they don't have big bags anymore, though, do they? They're a lot smaller. You just need to take a few out because you will eat. Well, I will eat the whole bag. Is anybody else with me? And so we intuitively know that it's not a good choice to sit down with the whole bag because it's hard to stop. That fatty, salty hook is in us, you know, and it's like, no, this is not good because we can't always trust what we want. It's not healthy for us. It's not good for us, right? That's not good. Now, we also know that we shouldn't trust our heart. From science, we know that. So let me demonstrate. Actually, my son helped me with this. He sent me a quote this week. But there's a neuroscientist. His name is Andrew Huberman. And we'll put this quote on the screen. He said, those who are going to be successful, young or old, are going to be those people who can create their own internal buffers. He's really talking about, like, boundaries. He's talking about disciplines, okay? They're successful people are going to have to be able to create their own internal buffers. They're going to be able to control their relationship to pleasures because the proximity to pleasures and their availability to them is the problem. So this neuroscientist, and there's actually a link on the notes if you want to see it, a little 5-minute video, a YouTube video, where he talks about what is going on. Pleasures are everywhere, and he says our cultures, the people in our cultures, our dopamine circuits are saturated and overloaded with pleasure points, just all over. And consequently, our pleasures decrease because there's just too much of it. We're in pleasure all the time. And so he says, you can't depend on what you desire. You can't let that guide you. You actually need to put boundaries about it. And so, you know, this is one of those things in life that reminds me that all truth is God's truth. All truth is God's truth. Because that's what the Bible says. It says fast. It says to delay gratification. So we can't let our hearts guide us, our desires guide us. They'll ruin us. So So how do you pursue the good life? You must be convinced that you can't trust your heart. You can't trust every desire that your heart wants. Again, you can't ignore your heart. You need to know what is going on in there. What's toxic? What's not right? What's not aligned with what God has for you? For His creatures that He made in His image to thrive and to flourish. What's out of line with that? To bring that into alignment. So we need to pay attention to what is going on in our heart. And we need to let the Bible, we need to let the Creator God, His Word lead us, transform us, the way we think, and address the way we're feeling. So we can't repress what's in our hearts. I'm not saying that. We need to know it, but we can't just blindly follow it. So how do you pursue the good life? You have to train your heart in the Lord. It's about training. That's the internal buffers. You know, you've got to train yourself. You have to train your heart to trust God and not just yourself solely. You have to place your confidence in Him. That's what that passage is all about. That's what Jeremiah was pleading with a morally depraved nation at the time that was falling further and further away and under God's judgment. That's what he was trying to say. Put your trust in the Lord. Put your confidence in Him. Quit trusting yourself. Quit trusting your hearts. Your hearts are deceived. Your hearts are impulsive. You can't trust them. So here's some suggestions on ways to train your heart. In just a few moments, I'm going to have Jeff, one of our elders, Jeff Bruni, come up here. He's going to pray for some of the initiatives and some of the things that we have coming up this fall. But firstly, though, commit to the community of the beloved. That's a fancy way to say the church. Commit. Be all in. You need to be here. You need to be involved in corporate worship. You need to be around brothers and sisters in Christ. And I just want to say, don't be indifferent to that. How important it is to be in the community of the beloved, to worship together, to be here to get the things that we're hearing in the world, get pushback on those so that we can see it the way life truly is. Join in. Don't be indifferent. Don't be just a taker when you come to church. Serve. Give. Let God teach you through service and giving what He wants you to be. That's what He has for you. That is the good life. It really is. To be a giver. That's the good life. That's what Christ has for you. That's why you were saved. He wants you to conform to His image, not to our view or what we want to be. And so come to be equipped. This is a key word in our 10-year vision as a church, is to equip individuals and families to be Christ-centered. That's the good life. That's where we see incredible things happening in our community. Good things. Loving things. And so we're going to be studying, one thing we're going to pray about real quickly this morning is we're going to be studying the Gospel of Mark. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the four, you could call them biographies of the life of Jesus Christ. We're going to look at Mark at 16 chapters. We're going to be studying that. And we're going to be really discovering together, being reminded of, learning maybe for the first time, who Christ is, who He is, and why we can trust Him, why we can put our confidence in Him. And then, what does it mean to follow Christ? That's another part of this series. So, excited to do that. So how do you train your heart? You commit. You commit to the church. You commit to the community of the beloved. Here's another one. How do you pursue the good life? You know, you train your heart, and you take a daily run. Now, I'm not going to ask if you take a daily run. Some of you are like, what does this have to do with anything? Taking a daily run. Taking a daily run is, when you take a daily run or a daily walk or something like that, you're doing a discipline to help your body, to help yourself. Even you don't want to do it sometimes. You ever like, oh, I got to take my walk or take my run and or go exercise. I don't want to do it, but you know, you do it anyway, and guess what? You usually feel better afterwards. You're glad you did it, right? You know what I'm talking about? So I'm talking about taking a daily run, and this is what I'm talking about. Exposing your heart daily to Scripture and prayer. You got to do it. Now that sounds very maybe infantile to talk about here this morning, but I just think we get busy and we deprioritize those things. We deprioritize the run or the exercise, and we start to actually get influenced by the world and what's happening around us, and more influenced by that than we are God's Word and through prayer. And so we need the daily run, and I want to encourage you this fall to make that a point of importance, of, you know, priority in your life. And in my estimation, and I'm a little dogmatic, I can be bossy sometimes, just ask Brenda, but I think it should be first. I think it should be the first thing you do, quite honestly. I think you should, you know, pop out of bed, making your cup of coffee, you listen to the Word, you're praying, you're just like starting your day on the right foot. And so, take a run, okay? Take a daily run. That's how you train your heart. Okay, lastly here, share what's in your heart with another follower of Christ. We got to deal with the stuff that's in here. Because some of it's not good. Jesus said it's not what goes into your body that makes you corrupt, it's what's in there that makes you corrupt. Jesus said that. So Rousseau was wrong. We are jacked up on the inside. You know, we need help. We need God's help. And so, but part of getting that out there and dealing with it is actually finding a person or two people. Like if you're a bro, finding two brothers that you can say, hey, you know, I'm having these thoughts. I'm having these feelings. I need help. Somebody said this to me a while ago. I was writing something. He said, you need another set of eyes on that. You know, correct the grammar, make sure it's in the right tense. Like, yep, you're right. I need another set of eyes on it. Even the ideas of what you're writing, you need another set of eyes. In our lives, we need another set of eyes on what we're doing, what we're thinking about. Hey, I'm thinking of moving my family here and doing that. It's, dude, have you thought about this? You know, you need another set of eyes on what you're doing. So share what's going on in your heart with other Christians and let them speak into your life. It takes a level of willingness to be vulnerable to do that, but that's where the growth is. So how do you pursue the good life? You got to be convinced that you can't trust your heart. And then you got to train your heart in the Lord. You got to do it. You have to take the initiative. No one can do it for you. If I'm your pastor, which most people here I think I am, I love you. I will do anything I can to help you. But I can't help you with that. You have to choose it. You have to choose that to train your heart. So when should you go after the good life? This is like getting a letter from the IRS. Okay? Anybody ever gotten a letter from the IRS? What do you do when you get a letter from the IRS? You put it over there for a couple weeks, right? I'll get to this later. I don't need to look at that now. No. Do you? This is time sensitive. This is like, hey, there could be a check in there. Probably not. There could be a warning for an audit in there. Like, you need to know what's in there. This is time sensitive, and that's exactly this. You need to open the letter now. You need to pursue this. You need to change things. You need to take steps, again, to train your heart. You were created to live the good life. Get onto it now. Don't let any of this other stuff take you away and take you aside. There's urgency. I believe we're going to have a great fall at Genesis. And I believe we're going to have a great fall in the community. I'm so thankful to the Lord, what He's doing in our church, what He's doing in our lives together, and how that is spilling out into our community. We're getting the chance to bring the gospel to our community. And what a wonderful thing. We're going to take a few moments right now, and I'm going to have Jeff come up right now. I'm going to have him pray for some of the stuff that's going on at Genesis. Come on right up, Jeff. And pray for our community and what is before us. Thank you so much, Jeff, for coming up here.
If you would just take this opportunity to bow your heads, pray with me. Hopefully these words connect with you, the message that Norm gave. And we'll come before the Lord today. Lord, we do come before you. And Lord, we're unworthy. We don't deserve you, Lord, and we don't deserve to even have a conversation with you. And yet, you are there for us. Anytime we ask, Lord, you give us an open ear and open arms to receive us and what we bring before you. Today, as we explored the idea of you, what our lives should look like, who you are, what it means to be a Christian, Lord, and I think when we become a Christian, we think, man, I got this guy, he's up there, this God who's watching over me. And we can just ask, and we make it about us. But reality is, it's about you. And like Norm said, we follow our hearts, and our hearts are deceitful. And we think we need all these things, Lord. And those are the things that we bring before you, are the things that we think we need. But the reality is we need to look to you and ask you what we need. Not just ask, but take moments to say, Lord, what is it that you need from me? And it's so fulfilling when we find out what that is and we actually follow it and listen to you. And it takes time to get into the Word, pray, and part of that prayer is just listening. Lord, we're coming into this fall season. School started, and we're a church that's passionate about our kids. Help everyone here, anyone that can hear this, to think about their kids. Think about the kids in Genesis. Maybe your kids are grown. And take a look at our kids. Just sit back and look at them. And there's so many things that are pulling at them. And there's so many things as parents that we're pushing at them. Whether it be sports, education. Lord, there's so many things that we push at them. And yet we don't give them just the basic need that they need, and it's you. Lord, and we have opportunities here at the church to pour into kids' lives through kids' community. And the funny thing is when we teach kids, we're actually teaching ourselves. It's awfully hard to stand in front of students and say, you need to do this, when we're not doing it ourselves. So maybe there's people here that are thinking, man, I've got something that I could pass on to a kid. Lay that on their heart today. And as we're moving on into the meal of remembrance, help us just to use this time to remember you, what you've done for us, and what you want for us. And we just pray for all the great things you're going to do for your people that are here today when we follow you. In your name, amen.